Don't worry about it. Anartha, things which are superfluous. Sakshat, directly. Bhakti Yoga, the linking process of devotional service. Adhoksaje, unto the transcendence. Lokasya, of the general mass of men. Ajanata, those who are unaware of. Vidvan, the supremely learned. Chakra, compiled. Satvata, in relation with the supreme truth. Samhitam, Vedic literature. In translation, the material miseries of the living entity, which are superfluous to him, can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotional service. But the mass of people do not know this, and therefore the learned Vyasadeva compiled this Vedic literature, which is in relation to the supreme truth. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vyasadeva saw the all-perfect personality of Godhead. This statement suggests that the complete unit of the personality of Godhead includes his parts and parcels also. He saw, therefore, the Lord's different energies, namely the internal energy, marginal energy, and external energy. He also saw his different plenary portions and parts of the plenary portions, namely his different incarnations also. And he specifically observed the unwanted miseries of the conditioned souls who are bewildered by the external energy. And at last he saw the remedial measure for the conditioned souls, namely the process of devotional service. It is a great transcendental science and begins with the process of hearing and chanting the name, fame, glory, and so forth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Revival of the dormant affection or love of Godhead does not depend on the mechanical system of hearing and chanting, but it solely and wholly depends on the causeless mercy of the Lord. When the Lord is fully satisfied with the sincere efforts of a devotee, he may endow him with his loving transcendental service. But even with the prescribed forms of hearing and chanting, there is at once mitigation of the superfluous and unwanted miseries of material existence. Such mitigation of material affection does not wait for development of the transcendental knowledge. Rather, knowledge is dependent on devotional service for the ultimate realization of the supreme truth. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Would you, if you would, please put it back on the Sanskrit? Thank you. Anartho Pashanam Sakshat Bhakti Yogam Adhoksaje Lokasya Janato Vidvam Chakre Sadvata Samitam. So, Srila Prabhupada began his talk by talking about the meaning of Sadvata, the second to last word in the verse, which means truthful or pertaining to pure, high truth. Chakre Sadvata Samitam. So, Vyasadeva compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam and all the Vedic literature for the purpose of sharing the highest truth with everyone. So, Anartha, if we can go back to the top, Keshav Prabhu. Yeah, Anartha means unwanted things. Anartha, superfluous. Unwanted things, dead weight, unnecessary burdens in life, things that are completely distracting to the real source of happiness. Things that we carry around with us unnecessarily. I remember, maybe some of you are old enough to remember, there's an old episode of The Twilight Zone where this is like 100 years ago, two thieves had stolen a bunch of gold, big bricks of gold, and they were lugging it. And they were trying to cross the desert with it. And after a while, the water ran out. Only one of them had water. So one said, "I'll trade you two bricks of gold for one drink of water." And he said, "Forget." So this is analogous to our life in this world. We're trying to hold on to things that we think have value, but in fact don't contribute to our happiness. This is anartha. The biggest anartha is what? Thinking that we are this body, yes. There's this unwanted, unnecessary thing. These days they have what they call avatars, right? Of course, I never have played video games in my life. I am pure. It's what I was saying, too old. But I'm told that these In these video games, you can assume a false identity, an avatar, right? Yes, you can pretend to be some personality that you're not. So, if you get so absorbed in this other personality and become detached from reality, that's a big problem, right? And you can't function. You can't find the things which actually are real to you, meaningful. And especially it's terrible if you happen to be a very beautiful, rich, successful person. You're giving up all this wonderful opulence for an illusion. So in the same way, we have a spiritual identity, which is our true identity. That is the identity that has been with us from the very earliest days of our lives that we can remember. We know we were there 10 years ago, 20 years ago. We can remember things that happened in our lives. And yet the physical body that we had at that time is now scattered all over the universe. It's gone. And we have a whole new incarnation, a whole new material avatar. It looks the same, it has some continuation, but it's actually not us. It never was us. We were the person present at that time. We're the person present now. And this body and all the ailments and all the trouble that comes with it are anarthas. They're unnecessary things. So this is spiritual enlightenment, to become aware of our true, blissful identity and give up this misidentification with this false identity that we really aren't. Because the false identity, these anarthas, bring with it all kinds of problems and miseries. Anartho Pashanam Sakshad Bhakti Yogam. So Sakshad means directly. The anarthas, the illusion and the miseries that go with it, are directly mitigated. Pashanam means to mitigate, to relieve, by the Bhakti Yoga process. So Bhakti Yoga, of course, before we get to that, Prabhupada talked about how different people try in different ways to get rid of the miseries of life. The first way is known as the karmi, that is, by trying to enjoy the material world, to become wealthy, to become healthy, to become respected. People try hard, they go to college, they invest in an education, they work very hard for this purpose, to try to gain material success. But this is also frustrating. It ends up, you may enjoy it for a while, but inevitably it will be gone. So this is one strategy for dealing with miseries. Another strategy is to try to figure them all out. This is called the Jnana Marga, the path of knowledge, trying to understand with our mind before we make any commitment. Try to figure it all out, have it all laid out before us, and then decide what we're going to do. The problem with this is that we're ignoring a relationship with our Creator. We're like trying to figure everything out and then decide whether or not we'll believe in God. If we figure it all out, then we may do God the big favor of believing in Him. See, but in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that as we approach God, God reciprocates accordingly. Yayatam mam prapadyante. So if we're trying to figure out God, God's trying to figure us out also. We're not sure about what we're going to do with Him, and He's not sure what He's going to do about us. You know? So we stay in this kind of a limbo relationship with our Creator because of a lack of commitment to the relationship. This is the problem with the Jnana Marg, or the path of knowledge. And then there are those who practice yoga, trying to get mystic realization and power. And again, there's a relationship problem there, that if we gain some kind of austerity or some kind of power through yoga, we may think, oh, I don't need God, I've already got this power. So this Prabhupada called the last snare of Maya. So it's the person who's ultimately frustrated with life in this world may also try to just give it up and renounce. And that person's getting a phone call right now. Yes, I just want to give up this world. It's terrible. I reject it. I hate it. I want to just withdraw from it. Anyone ever feel like that? I just want to pull away. This is called the impersonal approach. That I don't want any relationships. I don't want any more hassle. I just want to withdraw. I just want to more or less annihilate my existence. So this is called the path of impersonalism or Mayavad philosophy. So in this way, people try to deal with the miseries of life in different ways, from enjoying to exploiting to renouncing. Now, elsewhere in this wonderful book, Srimad Bhagavatam, from which we're reading, it is said that all of these people, bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakale ashanta, they all become disturbed in mind because there's always some shortcoming with these methods. These processes don't satisfy the heart. They're all coming from the mental platform. And so at our heart, we're never feeling loved, and we're never feeling a reciprocation. We're never feeling the relationship that we're all seeking. However, Krishna Bhakti Nishkam Ata Eva Shanta, one who takes up this direct process of Bhakti Yoga, directly linking with Adhoksajay, he who is beyond our material perception, Bhakti Yoga Adhoksajay, that person becomes peaceful. All the miseries of material life that we suffer in this world are really superfluous to us. They're not really part of our existence, so why should we hang on to them? This is the great treasure, the great gift of Krishna consciousness. We don't need to hold on to these miseries. Once a disciple approached the guru and said, "Gurudev, how can I give up attachment to this material life?" And the guru said, "Meet me in the forest tomorrow at this particular tree at 2 o'clock and I'll show you how." So the disciple showed up at the appointed time and there's the guru, he's holding onto this tree. And he says to the disciple, "Oh, you're here, finally, help me, I can't get free of this tree. This tree's got me in his clutches." And the disciple said, "Gurudev, you're just holding on to the tree." He said, "So similarly, you're just holding on to your miseries. You're just holding on to this material life. Why do you need me to tell you? Just let it go." So bhakti yoga means automatically letting go. But not simply letting go. Letting go in the process of developing a loving relationship with an Adhoksajay, that person who is beyond our material senses, who is beyond our power to perceive. So this is a what's called a Dao Shraddha. A little bit of faith is needed, that God exists. And then a little bit more faith to say that God and His name are none different. And I'll try chanting. I'll simply try chanting His name. It's not sectarian. Jehovah, Allah, Buddha, Krishna, any name of God has this amazing power that if you chant it, you become peaceful, you become relieved of distress, and you experience higher consciousness. It's completely available to everyone. One person asked our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, "What if I chant Coca-Cola instead? Why chant Hare Krishna? Why not chant Coca-Cola?" And he said, "That's all right, you chant Coca-Cola, and when you get tired, chant Hare Krishna." This is the difference between a spiritual sound and a material sound. Material sound will grow old. Have you ever tried this? Just repeat some word from the dictionary. Just repeat it. Just try it sometime. You repeat it, and after a while, it loses its meaning. It becomes absurd. It just becomes ridiculous and tiresome. But if you chant the names of God, it will never become meaningless. It will actually create amazing spiritual emotions in your heart. And that's all we can tell you is to please try it. You know, there's no investment. You don't have to spend any money. You don't have to do it in front of anyone. You can go in your closet and close the door and try it. And if you don't like it, there's a karma back guarantee. You can go right back to where you are now. No one will ever know. But there's so much to be gained. This is anartha pashyanam sakshat. We're leaving the superfluous miseries of life. So, Bhakti Yoga Adhoksajay, the linking power of devotion, which begins with chanting, as Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, that starts the process. This is great piece of news. This is great information to share with people. You know? So, in this case, Lokasya Janato Vidvam, the mass of people are unaware of this tremendous opportunity. Lokasya means the whole world, Janato, the people of the whole world, Vidva, they just don't know. Therefore, Chakra Samhita Samhitam, Vidvams, the learned Vyasadeva, compiled this Srimad Bhagavatam and all the Vedic literature, Bhagavad Gita, all these precious books, to help the living entity come in touch with this precious information. So, this is the business of spiritual life, of teaching, that you share this information and bless people. There's a story of Jamunacharya, who was a great devotee in South India many centuries ago. So he heard his guru said, I'm going to give you this secret mantra by which you can become liberated, but don't tell it to anyone. He said, yes, Gurudev. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. If you chant this mantra, you'll be liberated. He says, thank you, Gurudev, I will chant it. So then he went to the marketplace and stood up and said loudly, everyone, please chant Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, you'll be liberated. And his guru heard about this. He said, don't you know that you'll go to hell if you disobey your guru? He said, yes, Gurudev, let me go to hell. Let everyone be liberated. I know this is your desire. So his spiritual master was very pleased with him. This is the mood of the devotee. Whatever may happen to me, let that happen. Let me share what I know with others. One very dear disciple of Srila Prabhupada, Jamuna Devi, was taught personally by Srila Prabhupada how to cook. So she was part of a party traveling with him in India, and they came to a temple where a couple was in charge, and the lady was also a very good cook. So Jamuna was refraining from teaching anyone cooking because the lady in charge knew everything. So then Prabhupada asked her, why aren't you teaching the others how to cook like I've taught you? And she explained, and he said, no. You have to share what you have learned. He said, if you don't share what you have learned, you'll become envious. So there's a great release, a great liberation to become knowledgeable in spiritual life and then to begin the process of bhakti yoga. But then when we get that opportunity, it becomes our duty to share it with others. If we don't do that duty, then we'll become envious. That means we'll become small-minded. We'll just see faults in other people. So to share spiritual knowledge means we have to see the good in other people. We have to see the spark in them, that possibility of becoming Krishna conscious. Once in Boston, there was a young man who was coming to the temple, Bhakti Peter, and he had a serious disease, a kind of epilepsy and schizophrenia that would cause him to go into catatonic trance, like a state where he just kind of go into a fetal position and lie there, oblivious to the world. And sometimes he would do this. This would happen to him right near the entrance to the temple room. And he'd be lying there on the floor, and guests would come in, and they would immediately wonder, what is this place? So Giriraj Maharaj, who was at the temple at that time, wrote to Srila Prabhupada. And he said, we have this Bhakti Peter. He makes people feel uncomfortable. What should we do? Should we allow him to be in the temple? Prabhupada wrote back, have you no compassion? So many years later, Giriraj Maharaj relates, He left Boston, went to India, was there for many years. He began reading these books by a devotee named Kushakrata, who was translating all of these writings of the Goswamis. And he didn't know who this person was, Kushakrata, but he was appreciating his contribution. So sometime later he was in Los Angeles, and there's Bhakti Peter. Bhakti Peter, you're here. He said, yes, I'm initiated now, I'm Kushakrata. So the point is, we never know who might be a candidate for spiritual life. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Krishna's most recent incarnation in this world, just 500 years ago, here on the altar on our left. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so kind that even though in those days you had to be born in a very high family to be officially a Brahmin, a teacher, a spiritual master, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu broke down all of those restrictions. He said, no, everybody is an eternal servant of God. Therefore, everybody has a right to enlightenment, regardless of their birth, regardless of their gender, regardless of their social situation. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disturbed the whole social order by accepting devotees, disciples from the Muslim community. This was in India that was dominated by Islam at that time, militarily and politically. And it was forbidden for a Muslim to become a Hindu. It was fine for the Hindus to become Muslims. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was neither Hindu nor Muslim, because the Chakra Satyata Samhita, the highest truth, has nothing to do with these temporary religions, these designations. They're just another anartha. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in bringing out this teaching, accepted people from every order and every class of life. And this was his great compassion and his great gift. So to become a spiritual teacher means to deliver this information to anybody, regardless of their background, regardless of their situation. This is the instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Amara Gyai Guru Hoi Tara Egesh. For everybody, become a spiritual master. Deliver the knowledge of Krishna to everybody in your town, everybody you meet. Yai Daha Tarika Krishna Upadesh. Wherever you go, whomever you meet, give them the knowledge of Krishna. Amara Gyai Guru Hoi Tara Egesh. And this way, try to make everyone around you, in your whole family, in your village, in your town, in your country, make them enlightened. This was the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So a guru is seen to be a very exalted position. But Prabhupada said, no, it's simply a postal peon. Postal peon. You know this word if you're from India, right? It's a very humble position. The postal peon is the one who takes the mail from the office to the recipient. That's it. And if that person doesn't open the envelope, which they usually do, but anyway, that's India. But if they're doing their job well, they just take it without adding anything, without taking any rupees out. They just take it and deliver it, whatever has been sent. So Krishna is sending these letters to us in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, the form of Bhagavad Gita, all these Vedic literatures which Srila Vyasadeva compiled. They're like letters, they're like gift certificates, they are invitations to a fancy ball. They are anything like you might want to receive in a mail. They're not chain letters. You know, they're not car dealership advertisements. They're not junk mail. These are valuable pieces of mail. And they simply need someone to bring them. So Srila Prabhupada said that every man, woman, boy and girl should be a guru. Everyone should just take this mail from Krishna. That's the responsibility we have. If we get the information, we have to give it to others. Otherwise, we become envious. Otherwise, we dry up. I had the good fortune of being in Mayapur in 1975, and Srila Prabhupada was speaking about Advaita Acharya, and he was describing the word Acharya. So, and he defined it like this: one who practices bhakti and shares bhakti. And he said, now we have what? About 10,000. Prabhupada was always very optimistic. he said, we have about 10,000 all over the world. And those 10,000 will become 100,000. And those 100,000 will become 1,000,000. And those 1,000,000 will become 10,000,000. And there will be no scarcity of acharyas. This was Prabhupada's vision. So, it is a simple thing. When Srila Prabhupada was leaving this world, a gentleman came, Indian gentleman, who was seeing all these Westerners who were pretty new to the tradition, and he came and asked Srila Prabhupada in Hindi, who's going to run this movement after you're gone? I'm not sure, but I think he saw a business opportunity. But he asked this question, and Prabhupada answered very simply. He said, oh, whoever is the good follower, they become the next leader. Simple thing. You can also. Yes, he turned it right around on this man. So you also can become a good follower and then be the next leader. So when we're asked to take responsibility for someone in their spiritual life, this is what it means to be a guru. In the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Rishabhdev compares being a guru to being a parent. Guru na sisyat, svajano na sisyat, pita na sisyat, janani na sisyat. No one should become a guru, a teacher, a mother, or a father unless they can deliver their dependents from birth and death. Anato pasanam shakshan. No one should take these responsibilities unless they can do this. So, being a parent, those of us who are parents, we know all we can do is try. Our children are totally empowered to make fools out of us. But if we're successful in raising them as mature adults who make their own decisions, respectful, self-sufficient, then we've done our best. We've done the best we can. So if we understand the science of Krishna consciousness, and we have the capacity to raise children, we can also raise disciples. We can also take care, if we can make a commitment to a relationship and stick to it, this is what it means to be a spiritual master. One of my beloved senior godbrothers asked me one time, why don't you initiate disciples? And I said those three magic words that everybody says when they are asked that question. You know what they are?
Not
I'm not qualified. Yeah, that's exactly what I said. And he said, I know that. He said, everybody knows that. You don't have to say the obvious. But he said, still you can do this service. You know? And if you can help somebody and make a commitment and help them through their spiritual life, then you're qualified. That's the qualification. You raise children? Yes, I raise children. So you can raise disciples also. It's just a matter of delivering the mail and sharing the gift that we have been given. After all, what is the best way to learn something? To teach it, yes. And it's such a nice service. It's a very nice service. It's not very difficult. You just have to be responsible, able to respond. If somebody writes you, you write back. If somebody has a question, you answer the question. And this is not for a few, it's for 10 million and more. This is what Srila Prabhupada wanted. So when I was considering this, I said, well, nobody has ever asked me to initiate them. And he said, that's all right. He said, they've come out of the woodwork. It's just like when parents want to conceive a child, they're advised to, through various samskaras, be in the appropriate consciousness to attract spiritually minded jiva to the womb. So if we're ready, if we are prepared to take responsibility for people, Krishna will send them. Prabhupada said it is a transcendental arrangement. So now I see this as just a part of everyone's spiritual life. You know, if we can follow the regulative principles and make a commitment that we can keep to a relationship, then we can not only share Krishna consciousness, but shepherd people, help people through Krishna consciousness. You know, this is a great service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Sanatana Goswami was imprisoned by the Nawab, he was in jail just praying to somehow get free so he could go and join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was a highly responsible minister in the government. And this is why the Muslim king, the Nawab, did not want him to go. He said, no, you have to help me govern so I can go off and engage in wars and expand the kingdom. And Sanatana wouldn't show up for work. He said, I'm sick. So finally, the king was so frustrated, he's sick all the time, he sent his minister to go see, what is this disease? Actually, he sent his doctor. And he found Sanatana sitting there reading Srimad Bhagavatam with a group of Brahmins. So Sanatana was supposed to be a Muslim, but he was reading Srimad Bhagavatam. So the king was less than pleased, and he put him in jail. So when he was in jail, Sanatana was thinking, I've got to get free to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he began flattering the jailkeeper. He said, dear sir, you're like a saint. You're a veritable saint. And it is said that if a person frees one other person, their own liberation is guaranteed. So with this argument and about 500,000 gold coins, Sanatana convinced the jailkeeper to let him go. He said, just tell the king that you took Sanatana down. Sanatana had the pastoral, so I took him down by the riverbank, and then while he was there, he jumped in the water with his heavy chains and drowned. Just tell him that. So in this way, Sanatana was freed. So that's a beautiful lesson from this pastime. If you can liberate one other person, your own liberation is guaranteed. So we should all try. Don't you think it's reasonable? In the course of our lives, can we find one other person to help in Krishna consciousness, to take back to Godhead, to take responsibility for this person? See, the illusion is you have to be an Uttama Adhikari, this highly advanced devotee. So how do you tell the difference between someone who's a Madhyama Adhikari and an Uttama Adhikari? Someone suggested we should invent an Uttameter. Like a Geiger counter. It will tell, oh, here's an Uttama. Ah, here's a Madhyama. The fact is, it doesn't really matter. If one's at least on the platform of Nishta, has firm faith, is following the principles nicely for a sustained period, and is ready to commit to a relationship, then one can be a spiritual master. So this is the request of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the request and the vision, the desire of Srila Prabhupada. We all need these three kinds of association in our lives. We need people who are more advanced than us, who can mentor us, and to whom we can reveal our mind. We need people who are equally advanced with us, with whom we can make friendship, and we need people who are new to spiritual life, whom we can help. If we have these three kinds of association, our spiritual life is very balanced and sustainable. So, Vyasadeva shared Chakra Samhita, Satvata Samhita. He shared his spiritual wisdom through writing the Vedas. We can share it just by making a friend with somebody and helping them and being there for them. We don't have to be Srila Vyasadeva. We just have to be who we are. And in that, from that position of sustainability, share Krishna consciousness with whomever we meet. Thank you very much for your time and time, attention. Hare Krishna. Brief comments or questions? Jai Maharaj. Hare Krishna. If you speak, I'll repeat it. We don't have the mic. Oh, we have a mic. Okay. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. This is just like the popular expression that it takes a whole village to raise a child. In other words, the responsibility of the mother and father is very important, but that it requires, almost like you can say, a communal or collective effort for the child to be raised properly. You have to have the right social environment. How would that apply in the case of disciples and gurus and satsang?
Right. If everyone understands that being a devotee means becoming a guru at some point, then that mood of caring and helping others is automatically present. Caring for and helping others. And it becomes very attractive also. People like that environment and they want to be part of it. In other words, if everyone's in the service mood, the postal peon mood, I have something very valuable to give to you. Would you like it? Here, I'll give it to you. No strings attached, no charge, I'm just here to deliver. Like that. Everybody can help. One has many shiksha gurus instructing spiritual masters, and then one diksha guru for formal initiation. But they're separate but equal manifestations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada said. And in fact, he said, if we make a distinction between those two, like everyone's willing to be a shiksha guru, no problem. Diksha guru, I don't know. But Prabhupada said, if we make a distinction between those two, then we cannot spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. So we have to see that what this means is that people who would by birth not be qualified to be spiritual masters can become so qualified. We can't log in and say, oh, they can only be on this inferior level. Siksha, Diksha, in this way the village can raise a child. Is that all right? Okay. Other comments? Nazia. What about in terms of hypocrisy? I can repeat.
Yeah, hypocrisy.
We have people who are fully aware of the knowledge.
Like they have the knowledge and they know the principles, but then they feel like, okay, I can go sin and then come back. to Krishna consciousness.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Then again, and then come back.
Prabhupada said, once, twice, but not thrice. We may fall prey to those activities which are counterproductive to spiritual life because of bad habit. But then we have to rectify that if we want to continue our spiritual life. Otherwise, what happens is we lose our taste. The happiness that we are getting, being free from anarthas, evaporates. It disappears because we're showing Krishna that we don't really want it. You know. So, yes, to preserve our taste, we have to follow the regulative principles. Once, twice, we may fall down. But if we're thinking, we can have this Krishna thing, and we can have our marijuana, and we can have our sense gratification.
Right.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
Moralities, yeah.
Yeah, it's, okay. Prabhupada said it's like trying to light a fire while throwing water on it. All right, so we'll stop there. Thank you very much, Sean. Anyone who is prasadam being served now, Mother Mukhya?
6, 5 minutes.
Okay. Okay, we're plenty of prasadam, so anyone who'd like to take part in the yajna, please feel free. We'll be starting in just a couple minutes outside. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.